springtime in Wisconsin brings with it morel fever. However, morel mushrooms are far from the only edible fungi that grow in Wisconsin throughout the year. Join in as we talk with a mushroom grower and forager about looking for mushrooms, growing mushrooms, and how we can use mushrooms. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, May 17th. Do you forage for mushrooms? Where do you go? Where's your secret spot? Just kidding. I know you're not going to tell us your secret spot, but what's your favorite mushroom? Is there a mushroom that you love even more than a morel mushroom? And what is it about the wild mushroom like the morel? What is the big appeal of a mushroom? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest, very happy to have with us, Steve Shapson, member of the Wisconsin Mycological Society Board of Directors. He is an amateur mycologist, forager, and grower. Good morning.
Hello, Joy. Nice to be with you today.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So how did you get into foraging for mushrooms?
Well, years ago, my wife and I were hiking through a park, Pike Lake Park, and came upon some mushrooms and never even thought that we were even thinking of eating them. And we searched out, this was about 12, 13, 14 years ago, and searched out the Wisconsin Mycological Society and befriended someone there and got involved. And years later now, we're out in the woods and finding edibles that we know are safe to eat and growing mushrooms also for our own use. So it's a great activity.
Yeah. So do you recall what those that first batch of mushrooms you stumbled upon was?
Well, we prefer the edibles. A lot of people, scientific people, prefer looking at pretty mushrooms and taking pictures, and they are glorious little fungi to look at and enjoy. I think the first mushroom was the morel, but we've later found out there's a lot of other edibles that are very safe to eat once you know what to look for and when to pick them. So the morel was the first one, but there's other ones like the chicken of the woods or the hen of the woods. Wine cap strafaria, oyster mushrooms. There's probably at least, you can count on your hand, 10 edible mushrooms that are incredibly safe to eat. But again, never eat anything unless you absolutely know. Don't make any assumptions. Get good advice. I learned a lot going out with the Wisconsin Mycological Society, and after a couple of years, felt very confident that at picking the edibles and staying away from the ones that you don't know about.
Yeah, that would be my fear. I'm just, I would not be positive I could have a mushroom or not, because I've heard even there's a false morel, and is the false morel bad for you?
Well, the false morel can get you a little sick. The main difference is the false morel will have, instead of a hollow opening in the stalk, it will have a solid, it'll be solid, and the shape of it doesn't look very uniform. So stay away from that mushroom. There are a lot of mushrooms that won't get you sick, but the toxicity will build up in your body over years. So you can't assume that just by eating a mushroom, well, I didn't get sick, I'm good, but the toxins can build up. There are some mushrooms, like in the Amanita family genus, there are a couple that will kill you in a few days. So it's good to have the fear, but you want to use your brain a little bit and get involved in a group. Yeah. It's good that there aren't that many people out in the woods. Otherwise, it would be quite crowded.
Yeah, I bet. So the Mycological Society of Wisconsin also holds workshops and educational seminars and that sort of thing.
They have parades around the state of Wisconsin and lectures in the winter. Right now, there are chapters. So there's a Southeast chapter where people in the southern half of the state around Milwaukee area and north of that can go out on organized forays. And they just started last week. Last Saturday was the morel foray in North Kettle Moraine. But then there's Tavis Lynch in Cumberland, Wisconsin, and he organizes forays and lectures and outings and educational use in the middle part of the state and northwest part of the state. So Wisconsin's a great state for foraging. You just got to get out there and find someone that you know what they're doing.
Yeah. And you'll be leading a workshop, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later as we talk about cultivating our own mushrooms. You're going to be leading a workshop on cultivating edible mushrooms. Looks like is this Memorial Day weekend in Door County?
Correct. I'll be doing 4 classes on cultivating edible mushrooms at the Festival of Nature at the Ridges Sanctuary. So people can call into that organization and sign up for those classes. I'll be doing a PowerPoint presentation. We'll be sampling shiitake mushrooms and wine capsule fig mushrooms. And we'll be inoculating using different media to produce mushrooms. So that'll be really exciting.
Well, one of the things I remember reading, you correct me if I'm wrong, is that one of the reasons the morel mushroom is so coveted, so alluring, is that it's fairly rare and you cannot grow your own morels. Is that right?
That's not completely true, but basically true. I mean, there's actually a patent on growing morels, and there is a company that is growing them in the United States, but we don't know much about that. It is a very elusive fungi because it doesn't have a relationship with a single tree, or it's not a decomposer. So it can be coming up under, say, dying elm trees or old apple trees or sumac trees. But it's come up in people's lawns. It's come up in pine forests. So it's really an elusive mushroom. And I'm not really sure why there's so much fuss about it. It's a great tasting mushroom, but you have to go through a lot of labor and time to find these. And in the public parks and state forests, there's so many people out there looking for them that, to me, it's not worth all the time personally. But if you're in an area in the western part of Wisconsin where you have the driftless area where that earth has not been really changed over millennia, there's just a lot of morels that have come up. But in the southern part of the state and the eastern part of the state where the ground is rather new, the mushrooms do not come up as plentiful as they do in the western part of the state.
All right, I didn't know that. And while we won't spend the whole hour on the morel, right now that seems to be the one. It's the one that people are looking for right now, almost a sign of spring.
It's a great tasting mushroom. I mean, and part of mushroom hunting or fungi hunting for edibles and non-edibles is really is the hunt. You know, it's just very, very rewarding to get out in the woods and hike and enjoy nature, and then you get these little gifts that come out of the ground. So that's really the reward there.
Yeah. So how long are morels around?
Morels usually in different parts of the state, different times. Southern half, they start coming up basically around Mother's Day and can last for up to about a month. In the middle and northern part of the state, they'll start maybe another week or two and last for about a month also. It all depends on the weather. This spring, I think it's been an unusually cold spring, so I think things are a little delayed. They first start coming up on the southern hills, southern slopes, where the sun is warming the earth. And the actual organism, the mycelia of the mushroom, is being able to grow underground and eventually produce what's called the fruiting body, which is actually what you eat. But the true organism is threads of mycelia underground. So fungi are a very unusual type of organism on the planet.
And you mentioned it's not just by the decaying elm tree. That's where I thought I was supposed to look.
Right. That's the most obvious one. And then when you see an elm tree where the bark is just starting to fall off, that's usually a good sign that you could get morels. But we've been in woods where there's just tons of elm trees, and it should be perfect, and nothing. So either we were there at the wrong time, it was too wet. If it's too wet, that's bad. The mycelia, the threads of the organism, doesn't like that. They drown in that. So everything has to be just right. That's why the morel is such a sought-after mushroom, because it's sort of elusive. It's not a guarantee.
Yeah, and we have just a minute before we break for news, and then plenty of time after that. But should we find a patch of morels? Is there's a trick to actually harvesting them? You're not supposed to just tug them out.
Well, the best thing to do is, you know, it doesn't really matter. And you can pinch them off. You don't really, I don't know if you want to really pull them out, but even pulling them out, there's a lot of myths about this. The organism's underground. So it's just like an apple tree. If you cut an apple, any way you cut it, you're not going to hurt the tree. So you can pull the mushroom out. You can snip it off. You can cut it off. Some people say you want to put it in a bag that has holes in it so that you the spores go around everywhere. But the mushroom doesn't spore out until it's later in its life. And you're picking it when it's younger, so it doesn't have a lot of spores in it at that time.
We'll talk about cleaning that mushroom and then cooking with that morel mushroom when we come back after news. And we'll welcome your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So who likes mushrooms? Who is foraging for mushrooms? Do you have morel fever, as many do? Well, we are talking about foraging for mushrooms this hour, and we will talk about mushrooms beyond the morel that we can find in Wisconsin's nooks and crannies. And we will welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Steve Shapson, a member of the Wisconsin Mycological Society Board of Directors. He is an amateur mycologist, forager, and grower. He will be leading workshops about cultivating edible mushrooms during the 14th annual Door County Festival of Nature, which runs May 26th through the 29th. And again, we will welcome your questions for maybe even your own tips. How do you like to use mushrooms? What is your favorite mushrooms? Do you like to forage for mushrooms? Let us know your questions and suggestions. So, Steve, we're not going to talk about the morel all hour long, but let's say we have a bag of morels. I bring them home. Now what?
Sure. After that, I recommend, just shaking a little bit, make sure there's no bugs in it, potato bugs, cut them in half. If there's any bugs, just, you know, throw them out. And usually just the best way to cook them is really just a little butter and olive oil and fry them up a little bit so they're still soft, have some texture. You can add cream to it if you'd like. But really just a little butter and olive oil and a little salt on it, and they're just wonderful that way. They have a very earthy, the black Wisconsin morel is, I think, probably much more tasty than even morels that come from other parts of the United States. So morels come in all different sizes. It doesn't matter if they're big or little. They're great to eat.
You know, I have to admit, I'm not the best cook in the world, but I did. I bought a bag of morel mushrooms from my local farmer's market. This was a couple years ago, and I think I followed those directions, and that's what I said. Someone said just saute it. I think I just used butter, not olive oil. And
sure.
I remember thinking, you know, well, that's okay, but I was like, what's the big fuss? They're okay, but maybe it's just me?
Yeah, no. there's a lot of fuss about the morel, and to me, it's a lot of effort for maybe not a lot of reward because you spend a lot of time and gas, and you may find some, you may find none. You may go out 100 times and not find any. It's an elusive mushroom. And there are other mushrooms out there that people can look for and find and get educated on and have a great experience as well.
Let me ask you, before we get to that, though, we talked a little bit earlier about the false morel. So what is the difference now? How will I tell if I have a false morel?
The main difference is the stalk is solid and not hollow and round, and the head of the mushroom, the fruiting body of the mushroom, the main part of the mushroom, does not look like, it's not as uniform. It's really undulated and deformed. So people can go on Google and look at all these. The best thing to do is look at a lot of pictures of mushrooms. But a lot of mushrooms look different at different states in their life cycle. So one mushroom can look like another mushroom in its life cycle and get you confused. So, again, you know, get with the group and really get to learn what you're looking at and why that mushroom is the way it is at that point. Because I've made mistakes where I'm glad I didn't eat what I thought I had. So you can always eat a mushroom once. right? You always eat any mushroom once.
Gary on Facebook, I was just looking at this comment. Just as you said that, always remember that all mushrooms are edible. It's just that some of them are only edible once.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, the people that usually end up getting sick or end up dying are ones that are making a number of assumption mistakes. Or they're very much experts, and they made one mistake in keying out that mushroom. So, you know, education, but it's a very safe activity. I mean, I'm still here. I've been doing this for like 12 years. Again, I just eat what I know is safe, and the ones that are not safe, I'm appreciative of how they are in nature.
Yeah. Linda on Facebook says she has found a lot of mushrooms so far this spring, and I happen to know Linda lives in South Central Wisconsin area. She says the moisture is right, but it could be a little bit warmer. I guess she's right. Is it, as far as you know, is it a good season for the morels?
Yeah, no, it's been on and off temperature. We've had warm days and then cold nights. What she should immediately do is let me know exactly where that spot is and then give me the GPS coordinates on it.
Nobody wants to give up their secret spot, do they?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Go next to Greg in Milwaukee, who is going to, I think, justify what we just said. So, Greg, are you really going to share with us your secret place for morels?
Sure, why not? Okay, this is the most inaccessible spot in the world, and it says no trespassing. If you go to 6th Street and Oklahoma Avenue in Milwaukee, you'll see on the south side of the street there's millions of dead elm trees and dying elm trees, and it's all honeysuckle, and it's terrible, and the buckthorn is taken over, and when you walk through the woods, my legs from the top of the thigh all the way down to my ankles, because sometimes you have to walk over these elm trees that are laying down, and they break, and you hurt yourself, and I'm all cut up, but I only found 16 mushrooms, and it's terrible. But I didn't check the whole hill, because you can't. I mean, if I had little kids that could crawl under this stuff, maybe then I could get to them, but it's hard to get to them.
So you don't usually, you leave the morels there, and it says here that you pick different types of mushrooms?
Oh, I pick a lot of mushrooms. Hen of the woods, chicken of the woods, puffballs, Boletus mushrooms. I've picked them since I was 5 years old. In fact, the first time I picked them, I was 5 years old, and all the elm trees were dying around here. And they were everywhere in the woods, and I brought a bag of them home, and my dad said, I'll eat these, and if I die, don't pick anymore.
So he was your test subject. Well, interesting. So are all those mushrooms found in the same area usually, Steve?
No, the mushrooms he's mentioning, they can be, yes. You can go in a deep forest, like a Kettle Moraine forest or any forest in Wisconsin, and find the mushroom that's called the hen of the woods or maitake mushroom, which means dancing mushroom, or the giant puffball. It's a white ball. And when they're fresh and white, they're very tasteless, but some people will fry them up. They're very edible. And then the chicken of the woods or sulfur shelf, sort of an orange plated red plate mushroom that grows. It's a decomposer, so it's decomposing sometimes live oak trees and apple trees and pear trees and sometimes dead trees. Very wonderful mushroom. On both of those, the chicken and the hen of the woods, those are the generic names. Both those mushrooms are great, but you need to know when they are ready to be picked, because if they're a little bit older, they go into their old age stage and they change and they can be rather hard on your system. So the chicken of the woods mushroom, it sort of got that term because it has the texture of chicken as you peel it, but at that point it's older and it's a little bit old in its age, and you really want to pick it when it's just very soft and oozing the yellow juice out of it. Delicious mushroom in a cream sauce, and it has about maybe a 3-day time limit to get it. Otherwise, it gets too old. So that's a lucky mushroom. The hen of the woods mushroom is very plentiful in Wisconsin. It's growing off the roots of oak trees, and there is a look-alike, but if you eat it, you won't get sick. You'll just go, this is really tough to chew. But that's a delicious mushroom to eat and very plentiful. And Kavis Lynch in Cumberland, he's more of a professional forager, and he collects, I think, about 2,000 pounds of this mushroom and then sells them to all the different restaurants in the 50-mile radius. So hen of the woods, great mushroom, chicken of the woods, puffballs, no flavor, but fun to get.
Yeah. And were you surprised at all that Greg is foraging in some, it sounded like an urban woods right in Milwaukee?
No, there's a why I found mushrooms in the middle of woods in Milwaukee, areas that you never would go into. I've been in the Chicago area into woods where people don't go into woods because they're scared for some silly reason, mainly because there's people living in the woods. So we've seen people living in the woods and they don't know that they have their dinner right near them, but, you know, they're too busy drinking liquor, I think.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Jim in Kenosha, here's another urban area. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Where do you, what do you like to find when you're mushroom hunting?
Well, when I was a kid, probably about 35, 40 years ago, we went to Bel Air, Michigan, or somewhere near Bel Air, Michigan, and we used to go looking for what we called at that time sponge mushrooms, which I just found out are morel mushrooms, and I have been trying to find them everywhere since then. I can't seem to find them in grocery stores or farmers markets, any place that I've ever gone to, and I was just wanting to know if there's any place that I could get them without having to go foraging for them in any type of forest or whatever.
Interesting. So, Jim, you live in Kenosha, and is there a farmers market in Kenosha?
There is, but they don't sell those mushrooms, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think you can sell them commercially, or can you, Steve?
The morel mushroom?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's available. I mean, even in Sendix in the Milwaukee area. A lot of stores will have it. If foragers are bringing mushrooms in and they have a relationship with that forager, a lot of commercial foragers are bonded and insured so that if there's anything happening, they take the responsibility. But, yeah, the morels are available in many number of stores. If people head into some of the stores owned by the Hmong in Wisconsin, they are very much into mushrooms. And they don't really forage, but they will go out. They have companies that cultivate mushrooms that you normally would not see in your mainstream market. But if you get into the Asian markets, you'll see all sorts of really unique, tasty mushrooms that you don't see in your neighborhood market. So head on over to the Hmong Asian markets.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have now seen the morel mushroom for sale at grocery stores. So yeah, that's right.
Sure. And then just check the price, because a lot of times it's $5 for a couple of mushrooms, but then you look at the price per pound, it can be $50 a pound.
Yeah, they're so expensive.
You know, it's up to your budget. You know, if you want to spend that kind of money, I think people that get out in the woods foraging mushrooms, they have a love of nature and they want to get out and hike. It's great exercise. Keeps you young.
In fact, so good luck with the hunt at the grocery stores, Jim, for those morels or sponge mushrooms. Have you heard them referred to as that, Steve?
I'm not sure what he's referring to. There are a lot of other types of fungi that are completely edible. Some of the jellies. I'm not that.
But none look like the sponge, like the morel looks like a sponge,
yeah,
kind of.
No, I've not heard of that. Not sure what he's talking about specifically.
I think he believes they're the morel mushroom anyway.
I think he may have been maybe doing some mushrooms that are a little bit more psychedelic.
I don't think so.
We don't know.
He was talking about how he's unable to find them anymore, even foraging perhaps. I've heard that to some extent too, that people, and I think you would dispute this, that they're on the decline because the elm is on the decline.
Yeah, it does seem like every year, well, I think there's just a lot more people out foraging mushrooms, foraging at least the morel mushroom. The elm trees, you know, when an old elm tree dies, and they can die up to when they get to about maybe 5 inches of diameter, but there's always new ones coming up. So I don't think there's a decline of the elm tree as much. It's just they get to a certain age and they die. I think there's a worm that gets in there and kills them. But then there's new elm trees that keep growing up. I live on a property with a lot of elms. So I see new ones coming up, and the old ones are dying.
Yeah, Nate.
But I don't get a lot of morels on my property. So,
Nate emails, I enjoy eating morels, and it's true that the hunt is a major part of enjoying them. I also really enjoy the lion's mane mushroom. It looks neat and tastes great. My partner's favorite is the bright orange chanterelle. Those fry up deliciously.
Yep.
What is the lion's mane? I've heard of the chanterelle, but not the
lion's mane. The lion's mane is a mushroom that you'd have to, your listeners can Google it and take a picture, look at it. But it grows, a lot of times it grows on the side of the road. It'll grow in lawn, it grows in our lawn, but because we fertilize the lawn, we don't eat it. So anywhere where a lawn is fertilized or an area is fertilized, you try to stay away from fungi because they can absorb the toxins from the fertilizers if they are toxic fertilizers. And that mushroom is good to just batter in some little egg wash and fry it up. It's a very, very mild tasting mushroom, but it's there. Why not eat it?
Yeah, well,
the yellow chanterelle is rather plentiful in the state, northwest, everywhere around the United, around the state. It usually grows in deciduous forests, mixed hardwoods like oak and some maple. And it's in some years, it's very plentiful, and other years it's not. So, but you know it's going to be there.
So what does the, we can Google it, but can you describe just generally what a lion's mane mushroom looks like?
A lion's mane mushroom has, it's sort of a, I'm trying to think how it would describe, about 6 inches tall with a stem coming down. It doesn't really have gills on it. And it doesn't look like a normal mushroom. It'll have like a little hairy things on the outside of it. I'm not describing
That's the lion's mane. I was trying to picture a lion's mane. Yeah.
Right. And it'll eventually eat itself. So it'll eventually decompose its own self. And then it's called the inky cap at that point too.
Oh,
if she's referring to what I'm talking about, that's the lion's mane. There are other mushrooms in the Hericium species, comb tooth, and those grow on certain trees, and they're just really white, hairy blobs, but they're very delicious in soups, and that's in the Hericium species.
I'm sorry. It looks like a white, hairy blob, and it's really good.
Yeah, that's not a great description.
No, but I have a good friend who loves foraging for mushrooms, and she is a big morel fan, and she can find them right in her yard in Waupaca County. But she found a mushroom that I'm going to describe because I don't know its name. She says it's her new favorite now. It looks like, I don't know, it looks like a half of a flying saucer disc coming out of the side of a tree. Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, well, there is a mushroom called dryad saddle.
That's it.
And it, yeah. Now, that mushroom grows on, it's a shelf mushroom, shelf fungus, and it generally grows on elm trees. So especially in the wet months, it'll grow on elm trees around this time, too, and in the fall and all through the summer. And a lot of people like it. I find it to be very, very tough. It basically tastes like watermelon rind and cucumber. So you can imagine what those two flavors together taste like.
Boy, how appetizing.
No, it's not. I mean, just for me, just because something is edible doesn't mean you should eat it. So, and it's free, so some people will eat it because of that. But I've never had it cooked at all well where it tasted good.
Now,
but you can cook cardboard up and fry it up in butter, and it may taste good too. So,
butter makes everything better.
Right, exactly.
In fact, Joan on Facebook posted a picture of a mushroom, and I believe she did post a dryad saddle there. We'll talk more about other mushrooms that we can forage for in Wisconsin. Wondering if you have a favorite mushroom. How do you like to use mushrooms? You have a favorite dish or way to prepare or eat them? We'll also talk when we get back on how we can grow our own mushrooms. Do you do that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are exploring the world of mushrooms, the mushrooms that we can find in Wisconsin. The morel is big this time of year, but there are many others. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is Steve Shapson, a member of the Wisconsin Mycological Society Board of Directors. He's also an amateur mycologist, forager, and grower. And he, as I mentioned earlier, is leading some workshops about cultivating edible mushrooms during the 14th annual Door County Festival of Nature, which runs May 26th through the 29th. And we'll talk a little bit about cultivating our own mushrooms now for a bit. And we welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Also welcoming any questions you still have about foraging for mushrooms or using mushrooms. Do you have a favorite that you look for? How do you use it? Well, let's talk a little bit about cultivating mushrooms, Steve. What is the easiest mushrooms to cultivate?
Well, I've tried many different mushrooms to cultivate, and the easiest I find and the most prolific is the winecap stropharia on wood chips. So you find your local tree service and have them drop off a load of mostly deciduous, at the most 25% conifer wood chips, and put them in a shaded area, and then go to fieldforest.net and buy some winecap stropharia spawn, maybe for about $20, and seed that area, and let Mother Nature do its thing, and you'll get winecaps growing for years. You can take some of the wood chips that have already been inoculated with the mycelium and the spawn, and then put that in another patch. So you can really continue this forever. So I found a little trick of raking up the wood chips after a fruiting, and then they shock those chips again, and then the mycelium thinks it has to fruit to continue its life cycle, and you'll get more mushrooms. So the winecap stropharia and wood chips is, to me, the absolute easiest to do with no tools, no special tools. Then you have oyster mushrooms that you can grow on poplar trees, poplar, you know, live cut logs, very easy to do. And shiitakes are a little more work, but you have to drill holes into the logs and plug it with the shiitake sawdust spawn. But you'll get mushrooms growing out of those logs for 5 years plus. So very cost effective and very rewarding.
So Cindy in DePere emails, I have a log with shiitake mushroom spores, but I don't seem to get much out of it. The first year I got a few scraggly mushrooms, and last year I got two or three really nice mushrooms, but that was it. I saw a show where the mushroom grower soaked his logs in water to get them started. Is this a process that I should do to get more growth process? If so, is this done at a certain time of year, or can I do it anytime? Do you know about that idea, Steve?
Sure. That's called forced fruiting, where once the log is inoculated and then heavily watered so the mycelium can, called the spawn run, can grow through the log, and it takes over the log, and then when that organism wants to fruit, Mother Nature, heavy rain, or get stressed, or you can dunk it into a lot of water and get it to force fruit the mushroom. But if it's done that way, the air, ambient air humidity should be high, otherwise the mushroom will come out and dry up instantly. I don't know what kind of logs you got. There are a lot of websites, a lot of people out there selling small pieces of logs, like, you know, for $40, and they're dried up and they're not. And I did that originally in the beginning and threw away $40. So stay away from the websites that will sell you a one-time shiitake log. I think it's best to buy the spawn for $20 and inoculate your own logs.
So do you have a favorite mushroom to either grow or to forage for?
Well, that's a difficult question, because there's the lobster mushroom, which we didn't talk about, that actually is a fungi that takes over another mushroom that is not good to eat and renders it edible and gives it the smell and look of a cooked lobster.
Oh, my gosh.
And you slice that up and in a cream sauce or olive oil, and it's just absolutely delicious. So the lobster mushroom is just incredible. The chicken of the woods, when it's fresh, again in a cream sauce, with some pasta, some cheese, is incredible. The hen of the woods is a little more robust, but also delicious too. More better maybe to pair with steaks because it's a meatier mushroom, more earthy mushroom. So those three are great. There's a mushroom called the almond agaricus, and fieldforest.net sells a spawn for that. And that mushroom is incredible. You get it growing, and then it grows just in the leaves on the ground. So you get it going, follow the protocol, and one mushroom will completely change the whole dish and taste like almonds. So it's called the almond agaricus. It's the same species that portobello is that you buy in the store. In fact, the portobello is the agaricus species, and that grows in mulch piles. I've seen it at where they drop off mulch, and those mushrooms also come up sometimes, and then you go eat them. But you don't know if that mulch was also sprayed with a pesticide, too. So
we have Kayla on Facebook who says, I love serving puffball mushrooms with steak. I cook the steaks with butter in a cast iron skillet, and when the steaks are done, I will chop up the puffball and put it in the skillet. The mushroom does a great job absorbing the butter and steak flavor. So I guess mushrooms and steak is a natural pairing, huh?
Right, and the puffball, because it doesn't have a lot of its own flavor, it will, like a tofu, absorb whatever flavor you're cooking it in. I find they actually are very good. Make little cubes out of them, put them directly into some soup. So it's almost like a tofu, in a sense. And, and that mushroom is very plentiful. If you pick it, get the smaller ones. Make sure they're firm. Make sure they're not buggy. And you got a meal there.
We have about 5 more minutes to go, and we have a line open for you if you would like to talk about a favorite mushroom or a way to use mushrooms. Are you a forager? What's it like out there? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We also welcome your questions about finding and using mushrooms and maybe even identifying mushrooms. We have Lynn on Facebook who writes this recipe. I made a scalloped potato recipe with dried morels, oyster, and shiitake. Oh, my goodness. Everybody loved it.
Wow.
When you reconstitute the morels, be sure to use that liquid in the recipe. Wow, that sounds interesting. So do you know how to dry morels?
Yes, I mean, and she's doing it perfectly correctly. In fact, the best thing to do with morels, if you have too many, is to dry them. Either just put them on a screen outside in the sun, or if you have a dehydrator, dehydrate them slowly under low temperature for 24 hours and then put them in a bag. And that's what I do. I have morels from 6-7 years ago that we're still using. So, and once you reconstitute them, a little bit of warm water, not too long so they're not mushy. Because when you cook it, you don't want to boil the mushroom in its own liquid. You want to saute it. So when you reconstitute it, use just a little bit of water, get them to the point where the texture is similar to what it was when it was a new mushroom. But that's a great way to. What she's doing is great.
Yeah, if you don't, how long will a morel, or for that matter, any mushroom last if you don't actually go through the process of drying it?
Well, if you keep it really cold, down to about 30, if you can get it down to 33 degrees roughly. Quite a long time. I've had chanterelles last like 3 months, you know, because when you get them that cold, it really stops their natural metabolization. Otherwise, they will, continue to decay. So, and I've had mushrooms where I wasted them because I waited too long, too.
Dale in Plover is with us. Hi, Dale.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling about some mushrooms that we end up finding in the fall after the puffballs come out. My wife calls them bohemian mushrooms. I don't know the name of them. They're a light tan, and they have a webbing underneath the cap. We clean them, pick them, clean them, and then dry them in the oven overnight, and then store them in quart jars, and they last forever. They're wonderful. They're an incredible taste.
Hmm.
Does the bohemian or that description sound familiar, Steve?
I had to Google it real quick and find out what it could be. I mean, what's interesting is that mushrooms, you know, the same mushrooms in this country are also found in the Pacific area and also in Europe. They're just called something else. So it could be a very, it sounds like it might be a type of bolete. You know, the porcini, everyone's heard of the porcini mushroom. Well, Wisconsin does have a mushroom called the Boletus edulis or the King Bolete. And they're found, like, in the northern part of the state more than the southern part. They're very delicious. There's mushrooms called the bitter bolete. So if you put any mushroom up to your tongue, which you can do, and if it's bitter, then you know it's not good.
Oh.
So something to think about there, too.
Steve in Bangor is with us. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Yeah, I have a question. Do you need a permit or a license to hunt mushrooms in Wisconsin?
I don't think so. Do you, Steve?
No, in... even the national, well, no, national forest. I know the state forest. You don't, other than paying a fee to go in there. Obviously, you want to stay away from private property. It's just rude to go on someone's property and go gather their mushrooms without asking them first. But as far as I know, no. Even in the national forest in Wisconsin, there are not. It's not permitted. I mean, it is permitted in other national forests in the United States. There's quotas on how much you can take. And that's usually in the western states because they have commercial collectors out there. So they limit the amount of mushrooms you can take by like so many gallons a day. It's usually plenty for personal use. But in our part, our neck of the woods here, as far as I know, state forests and national forests, there are not restrictions.
Yeah. We do have the website, the Wisconsin Mycological Society's website up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have one caller, we don't have time, in only less than 30 seconds, who wants to know if there's a resource if she wants to get started cultivating mushrooms, say she can't come to your workshop.
Sure. I would contact fieldforest.net. Joe and Mary Ellen are great at educating you. They have a spring workshop. And that's where we started, actually, too.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay.
Steve Shapson is a member of the Wisconsin Mycological Society Board of Directors.